Hi, welcome to another episode of Carpooling with Adam. I'm Adam. And today, I got to go back to talking about things in a more general sense. Sorry, I'm talking against my own window, waiting to get on the on-ramp. So the sound is going to be off and goofy. And it's the time of day where there's a lot of cars trying to get on the freeway. So, and of course, they're all using, out of the three lanes they have, everyone needs to be in the one I want to get use. Anywho. So, again, more about Shape Up. Not because they need me to help with their marketing. They got a handle on that. Quite an excellent one. But there's a lot of different things I've seen. Other podcasts and stuff talking about this book. But I'll mention again, mostly to remind myself, that my focus is what gives people heartburn about taking approaches like this. And so that's why today is more of a general sense discussion. I'm into the part where they're talking about breadboarding and fat tip markering, right? That's the name they give to their tools for doing their design, right? Their preliminary design work. And I think this is where a lot of people are going to have some heartburn. And here's why. One of the reasons is it's just their tools, and people think, and because I see this with other tools that or things that people read about, and then they think that the emphasis must be on using fat tip markers, and you know they try and do it so religiously they miss the whole point of why they do that, right? So the fat tip markers, I'll just explain it a little more. They use literally fat tip markers because why? Well, it's hard to write a lot of detail with fat tip markers, right? You can't write very small and have it be readable. You can't draw very detailed pictures or wireframes of the forms that you're trying to build or develop. So in a sense, it prevents you from getting into too much detail, but at least having enough of a discussion and drawings to meet the needs to move forward, right? So to me, that's the key part of that. But a lot of people, I guarantee, are going to read that, run out and buy a bunch of fat tip markers, but without understanding the principles and the why behind that, they may not end up with the same results. And then it's going to be like, oh, that's a bunch of crap. And that, I'm just saying this because I see it, all kinds of other examples. I very much anticipate that being the same with their approach. So I think that's one issue, is people focus on the wrong things or misunderstand or misinterpret, right? And there's also a lot of room for interpretation, frankly, in this approach or methodology. Now, if you understand or have some understanding of their context, their business culture, their philosophies, how they operate, how they make decisions, if you have an understanding, then you can take that knowingly in context and make that work if you have the same culture and context. But that's the hard part, right? It's easier just to go buy a bunch of expensive markers and think that you maybe it'll at least get you partial benefit or part of the way there, and that'll be good enough, right? Well, it won't, though. That's the big issue with all these agile and scrum and safe transformations happening, and why they failed, because people don't really understand the principles and the why behind you, why you implement those things and what the end result should be and how you get to that end result. And if we just go through the motions, maybe we'll get some benefit, and you don't. If you want to transform and change your business, you have to transform and change your business fundamentally in a lot of cases. And if you're not willing to do that, doesn't matter what money you throw at which consulting spiel, it's not going to matter. Same thing here. So if you don't operate in the similar culture or context like them, doesn't matter what kind of markers you use. Oh, well, that must not be it, so let's go with their breadboarding approach. Well, even they talk about the limitations of taking that approach and what context it makes sense for them to use that scenario in, right? So no. But I think a lot of people are going to dismiss these methodologies and approaches because they're not going to figure it out and it's not going to get the results that they expect. If it were as easy as what kind of markers you use, come on. That, you know, it's just not, that's not the reality. That's along those same lines, I see this all over in all kinds of different instances and contexts in the business and software world, right? I'm really hesitating because this is a touchy one for some people, but for some people, deciding to get an MBA makes sense, and they're very deliberate about it. And it fits, and it ends up being a good choice career-wise. Other people don't understand that, don't know the why, get one but want the same results. Well, you don't get the same results. I'm not trying to knock on MBAs because some people get them and it makes a big difference in their career. I see a lot where it doesn't, but I think it's because they go in with the wrong intention, the wrong context. Just the notion up front, right, when I was looking at it for myself personally, that somehow all you have to do to be a business executive or succeed in business is take a few extra classes at college, as though that's all that there's just, you know, just a few more things to learn and you'll be a master at business. The whole notion is flawed to begin with. You can learn some principles that may be helpful in some contexts, but everything you learn does not apply across the board and doesn't automatically translate into your executive material or your business savvy, or you should be a shoe-in for success. This doesn't work that way. Real life just doesn't work that way in any context. But hey, it sure makes a lot of colleges and universities some serious money. So why would they promote anything otherwise? But again, there's a lot of flawed notions with that. So don't go into it with the idea that it's a magical transformation. I've talked before how humans like magical transformation machines, that if you just step in one end, out the other end comes something wonderful and better. It's just not, sorry, that's not a reality for humanity. I hope I don't burst any bubbles out there. So I guess this goes to, it's not a silver bullet either. But for them, meaning the base camp as a company, as people, in their context, here's what makes sense and works for us. You've got to have all of those. You could have the very same context and culture and environment and take a different approach and have it just as be just as successful or more successful for you. What you cannot do is just adopt some methodology and throw it into any context and get the same results. I wish it were that easy, but the reality is it's just not. Things are just more complex than that. Sorry, I'm trading off between water and leftover Coke from lunch. So, oh, full disclosure, there might be a bit of residue of Dr. Pepper in the bottom of my cup today too. You know, just don't want to misrepresent anything, because that's so consequential. So, yeah. Methodologies taken out of context and applied probably aren't going to work. That's the hard part about it. You got to change some stuff. You can't buy fat tip markers and still use your same product management and project management and development processes and methodologies and think that's going to change things. It's just not. Okay, so it's not the markers, Adam. It's that we draw on a whiteboard. Okay. How many people are in the room? And what do you draw on the whiteboard and why? Are any of those dramatically different? If the answer is yes, then it still won't work. And taking this approach, I can speak from, well, I can't because I'm not anywhere that would take it, and I'm not in a position to overtly take this approach. Maybe we can get into why. I think I will a little bit anyways with what I was going to say next. It's a lonely road, right? I see a whole ton of people out there who are in the product management space, in software space, in the business space, that want to find the approach that's going to placate everybody, right? They have some really tough conversations with some very, I'm going to say, ignorant. I don't mean stupid. I just mean they've got some blind spots in certain areas. And so as a consultant or somebody trying to advise them, you have no choice but to find some methodology or approach that's going to appease them. But as a result, you sacrifice a lot of the impact and the results. Some people take that trade-off. I'm not sure why. I can guess. And I get it, but that's part of the reason I'm probably not a consultant, because I would probably spend more time saying no to people, because it's like you're just not going to be ready for this, and you're just not going to be able to make it happen. So, right? But people, if that's your livelihood, you can't be so loose and flexible with it like that. Because, frankly, I don't think the market is ready enough for that, for it to be a profitable endeavor for very many, if any, people. My approach is, why do we have to do this bridge, right? I've read a bunch of books about managing change and motivating change and, you know, being an agent of change. An entire book's worth of methodology and process to do that. That's a lot of time and a lot of work, and doesn't guarantee anything. But if you're willing to just say, okay, there are so many things wrong with our current approach, we're going to have to shake it up and just do something different. That means people's job positions may change. That may mean, oh, we no longer need an entire department in our business. Does that mean you have to fire those people? No. I would hope they would give them other opportunities in the company, or say, you know, we're going a different direction. Does this sound like something you want to be a part of? If so, let's find somewhere for you. Right? But there's going to have to be some hard changes and hard decisions and hard conversations And even in saying that, I recognize there are not many people who are willing or capable to have those discussions. Why? Because they're so interested in protecting their current constructs. Right? If I go in and I say to my team, hey, I've got this new approach and this new idea, but it invalidates the role that half of you are currently filling. Yay, I'm popular, right? Everyone's going to high-five me and thank me so much for presenting this, and they're going to be right on board. No. So, dramatic change is unpopular, and it's painful, and it's scary. But gosh darn it, it leads to so much more benefit much more quickly. And sometimes that's worth it, right? And as unpleasant maybe as it may be sometimes, and I think it's all in how you navigate it. I think that's the other part too, is corporations are not very good at navigating and transitioning that change for people. Because they see things from such a cold, high level, intentionally so, right? Because they don't want to deal with the icky, sticky impacts of something, some of the decisions. They don't handle it very well. Places that displace people give them a generous severance, help them find another job, that's different than other places that people show up and the doors are locked, right? I had to terminate a business relationship once with a customer that I knew it was coming. They gave me the option. Do you want to tell them or do you want us to? If we do it, if the corporate office and legal does it, it's going to take about 2 weeks to process the request because we've got a big stack. We'll authorize you to sign the letter and send it to them. Then they'll know in a couple days. Instead of, we're going to terminate it when we terminate it, they just may not know about it. I made a tough call. I thought, you know what? I would rather they not proceed as though everything's fine for 2 months and then get a bigger shock with a bigger impact to them. I'd rather let them know as soon as possible. That guy never spoke to me ever again. He was mad. As though I made that call. You know, it was my decision because my name was on the letter, even though I just signed the company standard letter, right? I didn't write the letter up personally. They just emailed me here. Here's the template. Put it in and sign it. I still would have made that same decision because it sucked, but it was a better way to handle it for him than what I had seen other people go through. And because I knew him and had a good working relationship with this customer, I thought, you know, I want to do this right. And that meant I lost a friend and business contact. Still would have done the same way. So it's hard. You can handle things better and be more respectful and not try and be so cold and sterile, and people are going to respond better to it. I was somewhere where they said, hey, we're going to phase out the product you're supporting. We're giving you a few months notice. And we understand if you're missing work because you're doing job interviews, go right ahead. That's different than see you later. Clean out your desk. Your login's been deactivated. Your badge won't get you back in the building. So there's ways to navigate these tough situations that minimize the collateral damage and the negative impact, and bring about some positive changes and that there are ways to do it, but people, that's harder. That's the harder way to do it. I think it's worth it. And I thought this was a direct tie-in, but maybe it's not so much direct and spawned a bunch of other rabbit holes, but we can do things better. We can realize that we're still on this planet with humans for the time being, for the known moment. And I think we can remember that and deal with people as though they're people and humans, and bring about good changes for people, for the business, and not try this placating years-long transition that in the end goes nowhere because people have lost sight of what we were originally trying to do. So much worse. So yeah, it's kind of at that inflection. I think it's kind of a, what would I call it? I'm using the wrong word, and driving along on the freeway isn't the best memory jogger. A pivot point, I guess, maybe. A friend and I were talking about that in a very different context today. Maybe that's why, that's what's coming to my head. But in reading Shape Up, a lot of upfront, you know, previously what I've read so far has been principles and ideas and names and concepts. Now this is where you get into the sticky application of this new approach and just thinking through some of the challenges and pushback that people are going to have, which I get. But don't push back because you're heavily invested in a poor construct that's benefiting you personally, but taxing the rest of the business as a whole. Not a good spot to be in, but I see it a ton, all the time. Let's keep a horrible construct in place and continue to support and sustain that because it's a known enemy, and we don't want to have uncomfortable conversations with people. But I don't know. Maybe in the end I would chicken out. Maybe I'm just all talk and I wouldn't have those frank conversations, and I wouldn't be able to go to someone and say, hey, you know what? We're kind of taking a different approach. You seem to be really stuck in this other approach, and that's where your career's invested. If you want to stay with that, that's cool, but that's not where we're going. So what do we do? You know, what would you prefer? Well, I want to stay here under the same old construct. Well, no, that's not going to happen. Let's talk about what the options are. Maybe I chicken out. Maybe I just go to HR and tell them to send out a bunch of letters and severance packets. I don't know. I hope not. But it's a lonely spot to be in, to want to make what some people would say radical changes, but they're not, if they're highly beneficial and would make things better for people and the business. You might just want to do it or consider it. What else? I wonder if there's a correlation between how fast traffic is going and how much thought and words I'm able to come up with as I do this, because I'm slow 20 miles an hour stop and go right now, and that kind of feels like that's how this recording's going. Maybe it's a reflection. I don't know. We'll see. I'm about to get off the freeway and get on to less traffic, so maybe my pace will pick up too. Probably because I got the heater on too. It's cold outside. A little bit of snow. Maybe the maybe having it nice, warm, cozy in here is slowing me down too. I wonder if that's a thing. I don't want to stop talking. You're keeping me company. You're keeping me from getting too bored. But nothing funny's happening on the road to talk about. So, that's not helping. I'm not getting any more content or anything. Alright. Been long enough. Enough rambling. Have a good day. Hope this got you thinking about some stuff. Sure did me. And look forward to the next episode. See you later. Bye.